It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, rolling on the 4 o'clock hour. Reno's in. It's brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Justin Watkins, Matt Hoffman, and the family at Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, 766-1400, 766-1400. You got to dial 775 in the north. There's an office in Reno, downtown Vegas, Vegas, and Henderson. Magnum, give me a heads up when we've got our buddy Willie Ramirez in. Candy, did you see the quick clip? It might have been a longer conversation with Le'Batard and the Hedgehog, Stan Van Gundy, on RFK Jr. and Aaron Rodgers.
This traffic report is brought to you by Silver State.
Enlighten me, Steve.
Van Gundy actually went more at RFK Jr. just about him being a gigantic conspiracy theorist and anti-vaxxer and how damaging that is. And as I watched the clip, I'm like, well, I mean, Rodgers is kind of a perfect pairing with him, because Rodgers put out a statement yesterday that looked very much like a politician about his thoughts on Sandy Hook, but there, you know, there are the claims that he did eviscerate someone, saying it was fake in an exchange in years past. So I think there's a chance Rodgers does this. I think it's something he wants. I think he likes the platform. I don't think this is just a, hey, I'm doing a favor. Well, one, my name is out there, and two, I'm doing a favor for RFK Jr. I think he may take up the offer, take him up on his offer.
As I enjoy this job, I will not get into the political part of this. I will just talk to you about the football part of this, because I cannot believe that the New York Jets organization has not had more to say about this at this point, because the starting quarterback of the New York Jets had to put out a statement making clear that he does, in fact, believe that children were murdered at an elementary school years ago by someone with an assault rifle. And that seems like potentially conduct that would be not related to the interests of the New York Jets winning the Super Bowl this year. It just goes back to what I said before, that he has this entire Jets organization by the short ones, and they can't do a thing about it. The Jets basically have mortgaged their entire future to go with Aaron Rodgers, and whatever lunacy he brings with him from off the football field, they have to just deal with it. And I don't know, Steve, you told me the other day that you're just so numb to all of this as a Jets fan that what are you going to do? But ultimately, if you're the Jets, I'm still kind of shocked that they have not said anything.
They're screwed! They had to know what they were buying into, and I know it gets crazier and crazier with Aaron Rodgers, but this is what they signed up for. I think we have Willie Ramirez with us.
I am here.
What's up, Willie? How are you? Sorry for the late arrival for you. We'll get that fixed. Let's get into the Lady Rebels and what they just accomplished, because Candy was quick to point out before the championship game just how special this is at a place like UNLV, which, you know, in a lot of sports has kind of struggled to be this good. What about the accomplishment by Lindy LaRock, and now what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty huge. I mean, it's I don't know how many people are actually shocked and surprised with, if you know Lindy and know her background, know her. I mean, I've known her since she was a little girl, so it's a little different. But I mean, as far as her resume, I admit that it's kind of surprising that first 3 years and everything that she's pulled off. But on the other side of it, it doesn't shock me. But it is pretty special, and it takes you back to, you know, if you remember when the Bolas were coaching, and you know, husband wife team and the teams from back then, you know, when the UNLV Lady Rebels were in a sense the same sort of a powerhouse in the conferences back then, the Big West, PCAA, the Big West, and on a national level. But I think it's a little different, and I think it's a little bit more powerful just in a sense in that Lindy understands this new generation of women's basketball because of the fact that she, you know, she coached under Tara Vanderveer. She played for Tara Vanderveer. You're talking about the winningest basketball coach in the history of college basketball, men and women. So, I mean, she in a sense, it's somewhat in her genetic code, considering who her father is. So to take this program to a completely different level in such a short time, it does mean a lot to this community. I was actually talking to someone who's helped lay the foundation for female basketball, you know, females in basketball in this town. Emma Jean Major from back at Valley High School in the glory days of, you know, the 70s and 80s, and then coaching. And Adam, I'm not sure if you remember Emma Jean, but I thought that she did some refereeing as well. But Emma Jean, you know, she goes to the Aces game. She goes to the Lady Rebel game. She still supports women's basketball. And she even was very impressed in talking about this. She remembers it was when Al LaRock was just a young coach. So it's very special in this town and should somewhat be embraced. In terms of what we're seeing from the local girls basketball circuit, I mean, right now there's two playing in the Athletes Unlimited that came from Las Vegas, Ray Burrell and Sequoia Holmes, right? So, you know, it should be definitely a big accomplishment in terms of leaving, you know, or keeping some of the girls home and putting UNLV back on the map.
Yeah, to answer that question, Emma and I have reffed many a game together in Las Vegas, so that is great to hear her perspective. I'm curious to expound on that a little bit, Willie. When you talk about what it's meant for the local high school scene, we obviously know that, you know, the Centennial program has been great for a long time, but that's not where Desiree Young came from. What do you think that the UNLV success has done for women's and girls basketball locally overall?
Well, I think what it does, you know, if when they hold their camps and when they hold their clinics and if they do things during the off season, they have, you know, just like they have Aces night at the UNLV games, they have UNLV night at the Aces games. All these local girls are seeing what's taking place, and they're seeing, you know, I think it helps in seeing the local girls that are playing in the WNBA or that have had success in college, but now seeing Lindy put UNLV in a certain perspective and playing with that somewhat of a Pac-12 mentality, that it allows them to, it opens the door for them to stay home if they're recruited by Lindy and if they want to be here. It doesn't necessarily, you know, with the Pac-12 disbanding after this year, you know, a lot of girls want to play, as powerful as it was, they want to play close to home and have the conference opponents be close to home. So I think it collectively helps, especially since Lindy is a local. It's not like she came from somewhere and then arrived out of Stanford. I mean, she was born and raised here. She went to Durango. She's the all-time scoring leader. She has a history that she can talk about, the history of women's basketball in Las Vegas, and she can, you know, sort of speak to these girls on their level. She's still in that age range where she's a great players coach, but she understands the Vanderveer discipline, the Stanford mentality, the Pac-12 mentality, and that's what we've seen for three straight years. So I think it's a huge impact in that the local girls, they can feel free to reaching out, to going to the clinics, the camps, and seeing what is out there for them on a local level.
Willie Ramirez from the Sporting Tribune and AP is with us. Press conference for both Christian Wilkins, Gardner Minshew with the Raiders. What do you think of it? And what do you think of the Minshew move?
You know, I've been asked that a lot, and it's crazy because I really enjoyed Wilkins' press conference in general just because he was so entertaining, not to mention the three-piece suit. But I've been asked more and more about that, and I just think that it's an insurance package because somebody who has a little bit of starting experience. But I don't think that they have their eyes set on him. I think that they like the fact that he has starting experience. So you in a sense, you have a mid-tier level starter as your backup. I still think that they're going to try to either get somebody or trade up and draft for a quarterback. I just think that Minshew, I don't disagree with the move. I don't think that he is the starter and the answer for the Raiders offense. I'd like to see what they're going to do in terms of answering Josh Jacobs leaving, unless they're going to leave the room as is, that running back's room, and count on a passing game or a dual threat quarterback to team up with Devontae Adams. But I don't disagree with the move or dislike the move of bringing Minshew in, because, like I said, he has experience in starting. He's led an offense before, and at least you have a qualified backup as a starter. Whereas last year you brought in Jimmy G, and I don't think that there were a lot of people sold that he could run that offense, and everything was sort of invested in that's your starting quarterback. I don't think that's the case this time. And I think that Gardner Minshew, he talked about it yesterday, I thought that his approach was legit, and I think he understands his role. It's like, hey, I'm coming in to compete, and he never said that he was ready to be the starter. So I don't disagree with the move, and I don't have a problem with it one bit.
We got 90 seconds left. Candy, I wanted to close this with Willie. Willie Ramirez is with us on your point about Eichel, the newbies, and VGK still kind of looking meh.
Yeah, Willie, I mean, just to get into this idea, I think there are a lot of VGK fans who were saying, okay, well, let's get Eichel back. Let's get these trade additions in. It looked pretty flat last night.
It did look flat last night, and I don't know what's going to take. I think that Cassidy addressed it by saying that they're lacking a sense of urgency. And we've talked about this the last couple times I've been on is, you know, is it time to push the panic button? I think we're getting close because they've dropped into the wild card slots. They're sitting in the second spot of the wild card. They have to start playing with a sense of urgency. They have to start playing like they know how to do. And if they don't, they're going to find themselves sitting on the outside looking in, and that's when these other teams sneak up.
Willie, appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good day, and be talking with you this weekend, okay?
All right, guys. Talk to you.
There is Willie G. Ramirez, Sporting Tribune, forever company member, AP as well. I don't know if I like the panic button mentioned when you're bringing a it's not a new group together, but you're trying to meld in some new guys, and not everyone's ready to go yet. Can we afford to be a little bit patient here? Or are they in real trouble?
They're not in trouble yet, but they're trending toward trouble in a conference where you don't have the room to do that right now, unless we are to believe that Mark Stone might be back for game one of the playoffs again.
I'm not sure what else they were supposed to do. You know what I mean? They had to get help, right?
Oh, I'm fine with getting help.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They needed to get help. I'm just saying, if you want to tell me that the team is built to be better in the playoffs, you got to make sure you get there.
What do you think on Stone?
They don't know. I don't think Kelly McCrimmon is playing games about that. They don't know. They think Tomas Hertl will be back. That's great. They don't know on Stone. It took Stone one game in the playoffs last year to start to look like Mark Stone again, and it all worked out for them from that point on. But this is a different Western Conference this year. This is a tougher, deeper Western Conference that the Golden Knights are not going to have the privilege of being able to coast through any particular round this year.
We're hanging out here at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. It's our Friday home for Cofield and Company. We're getting ready for the Mountain West Conference Tournament semis tonight, Pac-12 semis tonight. Big West is in town. WAC is in town. This is a great spot to watch all the conference tournaments. And if you don't eat here at the Golden Circle, you can go over to Phil's Steakhouse, a classic steakhouse featuring prime cuts of meat, seafood, and Italian specialties. It's one of the great restaurants here, along with the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar here at Treasure Island. So come on down. Free parking, self-parking in the back, and valet parking out front.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Our 4 o'clock hour in Reno is brought to you by Circa Las Vegas and our friends at Legends Bay in Sparks. Don't forget, Circa has Mania Under the Sun at Stadium Swim. And not too sunny today. Not poor, because it's still a cool place to hang out. It's a good party atmosphere, and the 143-foot screen is dynamite. Our friends, BJ Raines, who's a big Boise State guy, I guess poor fans of Boise, hey, got to stay around Vegas. Sorry, but they lost last night. BJ Raines and Nate Crackman, our buddy who works with the Mountain West Conference Tournament, does radio in Denver. We're hanging out today at Stadium Swim. It's a cool spot to hang out throughout the tournament. Got weekends of March 20th, 28th, and then the April 6th, 8th with the four biggies, two biggies with the four biggies. Heated pools, cabanas, game time snacks and drinks. You got that 143-foot screen to watch all the simultaneous game action. But you're going to want to book a spot now down at Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Mania under the sun. Go to CircaLasVegas.com. I didn't get to recap one of – I don't even know if it's interesting. It is for me on this front. My trip to Reno, Candy. You know, you were the voice of Lady Rebel Basketball for a while. Did you have some spots in Reno that you discovered where you're like, you know what, that's where I like to go hang?
I will say from the jump that I'm a little bit biased because I have a couple of good friends who live in Reno. And
oh, so you got the hookup.
They kind of give me the insider information on where those spots are to go. So, yeah, there are definitely some spots that I look forward to going. But I don't know. Did you find yours?
Well, I have them. I have spots. I won't even get into one of the spots. I didn't enjoy it this time, but that's a battle to fight for another day. But, you know, the more I go up there on the UNLV road trips, the more things I find. They're building like crazy there. A lot of it looks like it's residential. They're building down in the casino district, as one of the big casino groups closed their place down. So they're replacing that, I think, with permanent housing. And then up and down Virginia, super active. So I'm a weirdo. I like to walk a lot. That's not the weird part. But I really will walk anywhere. So I was walking around the casino area, the downtown area. And I'm like, you know what? Let me go to my my favorite convenience store, right? So I go to the convenience store. And then I'm like, I still have some – I got a lot of time here. I got some prep to do for the game. But, you know, I don't have to just sit in the room all day. So I look across the way, and there's a barbershop. I'm like, I really don't go to barbershops. I usually go to some of the chain joints. I get yelled at home a lot by the SO who works in a salon. Two things. I think she's basically suggesting my hair looks like ass. So she's like, you know, you should go to the independent barbershops and reward the small businesses. I'm like, okay. Now, that's not why I went. I was just like, eh. You know what? I see a barbershop. I walk in. It's basically a one-chair joint. I'm bundled up. I take my jacket off. I take my glasses off. And I get the haircut, and, you know, the lady did, she did a good job. She's, you know, kind of shaving and trimming and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, this is taking a while. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, ah, what are we looking at here? About $20, $25 for the haircut? So haircut's done. Put myself back together, put my glasses on. I'm like, oh, $35 for the haircut. Okay. Now, I don't know if you know my history in general. You do, Candy. I'm frugal. I'm cheap. So that's why I go to the chain joints. I was like, all right, 35. I'm like, yeah, she worked hard on it, so I'll give another 15. So it was a $50 haircut, which I do not do. I'm cheap. When's the last $50 haircut you got, or is this a regular thing for you?
Gaze your eyes upon the brunette coif atop this head.
If you have a coif, that means you're paying a lot for your haircuts.
Tell me that you don't think this hair is treated to at least a $50 haircut, because I am a man of a certain age who appreciates the fact that there is still a fairly verdant bush growing atop my head.
Wait, what?
And I want to treat it well. I want to give it the respect it deserves.
Yeah, I get that.
And I can take you back. I can take you back to a time when I was in my 20s. And I didn't care, and I would show up at whatever insert chain haircut joint here that there was. And once, it was right before I was covering the LPGA tournament out at the old Las Vegas Country Club. And thank God it was, because this person did such a Kubert job on my hair. And if you don't know Kubert, look it up.
Kubert.
Let's just say that. Imagine a pyramid of cubes with all 90-degree angles. That's what my hair ended up looking like. And thank God I was covering the tournament, because I could wear a hat outdoors for the next few days and try to cover it up. And I vowed to myself after that day that my hair deserved better. So the base haircut for me is 55, and then there's a tip that goes on top of that.
Wow, okay. LPGA, were you worried about what Joanne Carner was going to think of your hair back in the day?
I can see where you're headed with this, sir. And I will just say that out at the Las Vegas Country Club, there are some well-heeled people who probably would already be looking down at the schmo in the khaki shorts and the polo shirt showing up to cover the tournament. And I didn't need any other signs of my middle-class status to be in neon for me walking around there.
I will say I've never had a haircut that I remember as being bad. I just don't care. I didn't care when I was young. I'm going bald now. The SO actually said, well, you look less bald. She didn't really. I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't know. I look at it. It looks bald. It doesn't matter to me. Now on the $55, do you want to reveal the tip you gave? Like, what are we talking about here?
Usually that is a $10 tip that gets added
to
the 55 because,
it sounds low.
Relationships matter, Steve. Relationships matter. And this person always has scissors, always close to my hair. You can't cheap out on the tip. If you cheap out on the tip, you might as well not have spent the 55, and you might as well, you know, just have your SO grab a couple of kitchen scissors and, you know, take a run at it.
So the Vast Sound crew is always looking for good sound, and they pulled this from some rando guy who was talking about his $15 haircut and how tipping has gotten out of control. Fire this.
Don't flip that thing in my face. You get no tip.
A man on Reddit is going viral. He went to get a walk-in haircut, okay? $15. When he went to pay, the tablet displayed the tipping options. The choices included 50, 70, and 90% tipping options.
I would never go back to this person. $15 for a haircut, though, I'll take it.
That's what I'm saying. That's reasonable.
Here's the thing.
But you would
leave
tip.
It up to me.
Yes.
That I'll, if you're going to charge me $15, I'll give you 50%. I'll give you 30% because I'm still saving money.
If you get a $15 haircut and you think it's generous to give 15%, bruh, come on. By the way, his hair actually did look good. Now, he may have had a makeup artist fix it because he's making a TV appearance, but 15% on $15, I think we got bigger issues than having the tablet flipped in your face, as you put it, and them listing 50, 70, and 90%. Is this... I do believe there is an issue in this country with tipping because there is an issue with corporate America paying real salaries. So we have to look for it. But is this the case to hold up as tipping is out of control?
That cheap bastard doesn't want to pay $2.25 in a tip.
Right.
And if you do not want to tip your hairstylist $2.25, I would love to know what you do at the bar. I would love to know what you do when you go out for food. What do you wait until the food comes on a silver platter and then decide if the waiter is getting a tip that day? Stop it. The real problem is that as we have switched to a cashless society, the tip option has basically been added everywhere, right? I will tip you when there is a question as to, did you provide good service to me today? But if I talk to the employee at a fast food restaurant and it's like, what do you have? Burger, fries, and a drink. Will that be all? Yeah. $9.45. Oh, okay. I'm not tipping you for that. That is exactly what you were supposed to do. Doot, doot, doot. Punch three buttons, and that's that. That's not my responsibility to tip. There was no service. There was no service provided, so what am I supposed to be tipping on?
Let's go back to the haircut. Chapman, can you chime in on this? And the reason I didn't bring you in initially is I don't know that you get haircuts. What do we think?
I mean, I'm okay listen, if it's a $15 haircut.
Chris, we are not hearing you. Maybe the audience is, but we're not hearing you. Which I guess I should
maybe
have.
Maybe he's
been,
just insulted.
Been,
maybe he's insulted.
Cautious.
Maybe
he's
he doesn't want to answer your
haircut. There we go.
Question.
There we go.
There you are.
This
oh,
is
there
a silly
is.
Board. You know, if you don't push the pods up right, it doesn't go to on air. But I don't know. I mean, if it's a $15 haircut, you can't tip $2.50. I mean,
well, that guy can.
Well, I don't know. I don't
absurd.
Know.
It's absurd.
It is absurd because unfortunately, like you mentioned, this is a society now where corporate America expects people like you, me, and Adam to pay the salaries of people who work at these establishments, and they'd rather have us pay their salary while their CEOs are making millions and billions. And I don't know. I'm more of a European. I like the aspect of, hey, you know what? Pay these people a living wage so I don't have to pay them a living wage. But look, in America, if they provide a service, I'm with Adam. You got to tip them. You have to tip them. You can't be cheap.
And Adam's point, if it's that important to you, like, because you know if that guy had gotten a bad haircut, he would have flipped out. He would have flipped out. Well, that's part of what you're paying for. You get a bargain basement haircut, reward the person who did the haircut.
Let's all be honest here. How many times have you gone to a bar or gone to a restaurant and some, you know, bartender slides you a little extra on your drink, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, supposed to be a single shot? Yeah, you know, wink, wink, double shot. You slide them the tip to make up for it. We all get how that game works. But if you're a cheap bastard on a $2 haircut, I hope they weed whack you next time.
Finley Auto Group is pleased to welcome the newest dealership in the Valley Auto Mall, Finley Nissan Henderson. Looking for a new or used Nissan car, truck, or SUV? Find your Nissan at Finley Nissan Henderson. Visit the showroom today to get the best deals and customer service on all Nissan makes and models, like the compact Sentra, spacious Pathfinder, eco-friendly Leaf, or the powerful Titan. Browse their full inventory of new or pre-owned vehicles at FinleyNissanHenderson.com. Find your Nissan at Finley Nissan Henderson, inside the Valley Auto Mall.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. If you get hurt in a crash, did you know your lawyer can take more money than you? You get hurt and the lawyer gets rich. Not very fair, is it? I promise never to take more money than you.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
Sign up today for a new William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports account, and you can earn a $50 bonus bet on top of your original $50 or more deposit and wager. The William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports app allows you to bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, or Android device from anywhere in Nevada. Sign up today, and you will never miss another bet. With the largest wagering menu, the mobile sports app features live and play wagering on all major sports. For more information, official rules, and to see participating sign-up locations, visit williamhill.us. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Dollar Loan Center is the official short-term lender of St. Patrick's Day. And to celebrate our money green heritage, your first loan is on us for all new customers. It's easier than ever to get up to $5,000 at Dollar Loan Center. And oh yeah, your first loan is on us for all new customers. No fees and no interest for a full week. It's a great way to try us out. Consider it a 7-day trial period, and you don't even need to drive. We have instant funding available so you can get your money immediately. Fast, easy, and free for a week anyway. There is no charge to find out how much you qualify for and free interest for a week on your loan. As the official short-term lender of St. Patty's Day, the amount of luck coming your way is huge when you visit one of our beautiful locations. Apply at don'tbebroke.com, give us a call, or find a Dollar Loan Center near you.
Free loan means if you pay off your loan in 1 week or less, the interest is free. You are still required to repay the principal amount. Licensed by Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet minimum loan qualifications. To review loan qualifications, visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Are you ready to experience the epitome of luxury? Look no further than Tobin Motor Cars, Las Vegas's only super luxury multi-franchise dealership. Find the finest selection of Ferrari, Maserati, Bentley, Aston Martin, Rolls-Royce, Karma, and more. Lease a brand new Maserati Grey Cali for just $699 per month. Explore the full selection of new and pre-owned luxury vehicles at TobinMotorCars.com. Tobin Motor Cars on West Sahara.
$699 plus tax per month. $39.99 down for 36 months. OAC. See store for details. Expires 3/31/2024.
Saturday, March 16th, Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions presents 12 rounds of World Championship Boxing. Cepeda versus Hughes. Live from the Chelsea inside the Cosmopolitan. Tickets starting at $40 plus fee at Ticketmaster.com or stream it on DAZN.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, rolling past the halfway point of the show. We're hanging out at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. A lot more college basketball coming up. Boy, I'm all over the map. That tipping and haircut discussion throws me off, Candy. Now I got to reset. At 4:44, we're going to get back into college hoops and the coverage of college hoops. First of all, you SOB with your Flobee comment about Jerry Palm. Now I'm looking at the gentleman, and yes, that is a Flobee haircut. Speaking of haircuts,
yeah.
He doesn't tip anyone because he just does it at home. Yes, there you go. That's the proof right there. And he's on TV with a Flo-B haircut. Good or bad for him? I'm not sure which.
You get some bracketological skill, and then you can be on TV any way you like. You can go get a $10 haircut and tip 3 cents, and you can be on as long as you can make up some brackets.
And I hope my comment about the cost of the haircut, I hope I didn't insult anyone, you know, at salons. And my whole point is I don't need that kind of haircut. That's all I was saying.
I will not speak for anybody at the salons, but I think that if it's just a volume play, then I understand why yours generally costs 20 and mine costs 55.
And
it probably goes up from there.
I'm just amazed that Candy spends as much on a haircut as my wife does. And my wife, she goes to, like, apparently from what she's telling me, Japanese hair needs to be cut a specific way. So she goes to, like, a Japanese person to cut her hair. And she spends as much as Candy. So it blows me away that he's spending as much money as Mrs. Chapman on a haircut.
Buddy, when it comes to the ladies, it's not the cut is like the first taste. Then the color is where they get you.
Yeah, the high maintenance guy over here.
That's where the real money is involved.
And
anybody who works at a salon, hairstylists, colorists who work at a salon, you're earning your money. I completely get it. But that's where the real money is.
Years and years ago when I actually had nice hair, I used to do highlights. So I get that. But we're talking like pre-millennium when I had nice hair.
You now, had nice hair?
I used to have nice hair. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm imagining some like 90210 Jason Priestley.
Yes.
Here.
That
like,
was that, the look that, I was going it? For.
Yeah. Yeah. Chapman and Priestley is it. I get it.
If Jenny Garth was banging down my door, absolutely. That's the look I was going for.
I'm now going to have to do some research with my experts on the Japanese haircut expertise and the cost. That actually sounds cheap to me.
It might be. I mean, my wife is frugal, so she may have just found the person who will do it for the least amount of money. But every time she gets a cut, it looks nice. So whatever she did, she's doing a good job.
We have all sorts of sources, Candy, on the show and insiders for everything, really. Trust me.
Japanese female haircuts.
I might have a connection. I'm thinking of some. Now, it might not be Japanese. It could be a Filipino person. That could get us in a whole different thing. So there's a whole discussion to be had there as well. There is one thing that is undeniable and doesn't need a debate, Candy, and that is the Yankees suck at protecting their pitchers. What is going on? Why is Cole hurt now? Another one?
First of all, just to keep this discussion somewhere on the rails, sir, Gerrit Cole's hair is beautiful.
Yeah,
right? Like, let's be clear about one thing. His elbow might be a mess right now, and no one's really telling us exactly what's going on with his elbow, same way no one told us really what was happening with Shohei Ohtani's elbow. But when I was doing my little COVID quaff when things were just growing out, I can tell you with certainty that I was looking at Gerrit Cole's hair under his hat and thinking, I wish I could do that, but I can't. I would, however, give the man some of my elbow ligament if I could, because the Yankees suck at preventing injuries. They were proven by ESPN to have the most wins above replacement on the injured list last year. And let me just tell you right now, they don't seem to have any answers within the training. So why is it that Hal and Hank, rest in peace, are allowing Brian Cashman to keep his job when he can't seem to keep his players on the field?
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Showers brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Offices in Reno and downtown Vegas, Vegas and in Henderson. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada for advice, for help. From Matt Hoffman, Justin Watkins, and the rest of the team at Battleborn, 766-1400. You got to dial 775 in the north. 5 o'clock hour, more NFL. Mark McMillan, the former Eagle, Chief, and several other teams, veteran of the league, will join us. And then we'll have a discussion about Mountain West Conference Tournament, what's at stake tonight, what could happen this weekend with the brackets, and a lot more on Dedan Thomas. as UNLV fans are waiting to see what happens in the future with the local from Liberty High School, DJ Thomas. So, Candy, you sent over something pretty interesting today. You sent over a lot of interesting stuff, but there was a trade the Vikings made. Talk about this trade and what it could lead to.
It's one of those things that kind of sneaks under the radar a little bit this time of year, but the Vikings traded into the first round to get a second pick in the first round. They traded with Houston. They gave up next year's second. There are a couple other pick swaps involved in there, but the important thing to note is that the Vikings are now holding number 11 and number 23 in the first round, and it would stand to reason that with Kirk Cousins leaving for Atlanta and only Sam Darnold in the fold right now, that the Minnesota Vikings are in the market for a quarterback in the draft. And so if they think that they need another pick, that number 11 isn't going to get them what they want, doesn't it stand to reason that they think you have to get higher than 11, that they're going to try to trade up to get a quarterback? Stands to reason to me. And I don't know that number 11, number 23 is going to get you up into the top three. I don't think that's getting you one, two, or three. I think you're probably going to have to include some picks from next year as well. And so where does that leave teams like the Raiders? Where does it leave you on the fringes of the teens if you think you're going to draft a quarterback this year? It probably leaves you in a spot where if the team that was already at 11 is signaling to you that they think they need to move up, you better not be sitting there and doing nothing and just hoping a quarterback falls to you. Because if you don't think that you can get into the top three to get Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, where do you have to go to get J.J. McCarthy? Where do you have to go to get Michael Penix if the Vikings think that they're going to have to get up in the top five to get one of those guys? It tells me that the market is signaling to the Raiders that Tom Telesco better be ready to move some assets if he thinks he's going to get a quarterback who matters in this draft.
Yeah, starting with the winning at the end of the Raiders season this last year, I've never believed that the Raiders were going to be able to move up to top three to get one of their three preferred guys. Now, Jaden Daniels moving into the top three kind of surprised me. I thought they had an outside shot, but they have no shot now. And to your point, they're going to have to trade so much to compete with a team like the Vikings now that they have a second-round pick. I don't love the Raiders. And here's the thing. We don't even know if that's the Raiders' plan. Maybe they have someone they like enough that they don't have to move. But I do not believe this narrative of, hey, they're going to trade a bunch of picks, aggressively move up to top three. I don't believe it's possible. The other interesting thing about the Vikings, and if this is a move to bump up, say, four spots, right? Whatever, a couple of spots. Is there really a fourth quarterback who needs to go in the top 10 of the NFL draft? And is his name J.J. McCarthy? This is lunacy to me.
Well, this is silly season, man. This is the time of year everybody talks themselves into, well, maybe he could, right? I believe there's a man who was just traded by the name of McCorkle who can prove that to you. Mac Jones went at number 15 to the Patriots. He was the fifth quarterback taken in that draft. Kenny Pickett just got traded for a pick swap. He was the first quarterback taken in the 2022 draft. This is the time of year where teams will convince themselves that a guy who was pretty much consensus mid, meh, can be their guy. But the question is, how much are you giving up to do it? And if you're the Vikings, you're pretty well signaling to everybody that at the minimum, you think that you're going to get toward the top three, if not into the top three. And if you look at those top three teams, Chicago is either taking a quarterback or trading the pick, and it is overwhelmingly likely they are taking Caleb Williams. At number two, the Commanders just traded Sam Howell, their starting quarterback from last year. They're drafting a quarterback. New England just did the same. McCorkle's on the move. They're drafting a quarterback at three. So the first question mark comes at number four, and don't you convince yourself that the Arizona Cardinals aren't drafting a quarterback, because they did the same thing with Josh Rosen that they're doing with Kyler Murray and telling everybody, Kyler's our guy. Yeah, we heard it before. So there's no guarantee that they're not taking a quarterback. The first spot where you know someone's not taking a quarterback is Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers at 5.
Which isn't even guaranteed that that slot isn't for a quarterback, because the Chargers, I'm sure, would like to trade back, since they need, I believe, offensive line help. I believe interior defensive line help. They could use a receiver. There's more value in getting an extra pick and moving back 5, 10, 12 spots. I just don't think McCarthy is the guy. So, and I think this is silly season. I think there's a lot of rumors out there. It's all, you know what, my problem with it is just it does not mesh with what I think is the smart team building method. And that is, if you're not getting one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the draft, after that you're stretching it. And I think you build teams with some of the positions I just mentioned, the edge rusher, the interior tackle, the cornerback, and stretching for quarterback. I love that you mentioned Pickett getting traded. So the Steelers are out on that already, which lots of people knew at the time that was an absurd pick. Just, it was a bad pick. So if you're a Vikings fan, as bad as it looks right now because you lost Cousins, I say this with a little hesitation because I don't know that they have a true team builder. I'm not sure that I trust management there, but I guess I trust Kevin O'Connell, that he knows quarterbacks. I would hope that they use both of those picks for players other than a quarterback. And if they love someone at 11, take them.
If you're the Minnesota Vikings, you have assembled a staff that at least gives you all of the pretty new car look of the guys you want making the decisions, right? Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah is an analytically driven GM. And Kevin O'Connell was a passing game coordinator, offensive guy, the one who we were giving all the credit for talking into the helmet of Josh Dobbs through an entire game and getting him through when he had arrived earlier in the week. In theory, these are the guys you want making a quarterback decision, and it seems like they understand the assets that are involved in really taking a swing. But Cofield, it's what you just said. If you don't get one of those guys, then you do wait and try. Derek Carr was a second-round pick. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. We can go on and on and on and find guys who were drafted late. And yes, it takes a lot of work to find one of those guys late. But how many late first-round picks have become great quarterbacks in the NFL? And why were they late first-round picks? Lamar Jackson was an end-of-the-first-round pick because people thought he was a running back. Aaron Rodgers was an end-of-the-first-round pick,
right?
Because, well, let's just say size, right? Let's just say they thought he was too small and leave the rest on the side.
Right. We know why.
There are not a lot of late first-round picks.
I'll give you another one. Dan Marino was, because they thought he was down with the Yale in college. There were rumors around him that, hey, drug problem, right? So there are rare cases in the 20s that actually turn out. So we'll see what the Vikings do. Your Giants, unfortunately, won just enough games because they couldn't get focused. And now at the end, they got focused. They got Tommy Cutlets out there, and they lost, and they were terrible, but they won just enough games to F themselves. Now, I think they've turned it around so far with a solid offseason. Losing Barkley, fine. Beefing up areas of the team that they need, fine. But on the Barkley thing, and I don't think people in the organization are involved in this, it started early this week when we found out Barkley was going to Philly. And then Tiki Barber comes out with this, he's dead to me. Then people get on him about it, including Saquon Barkley, and then Tiki's like, oh, I was kidding. I was just kind of representing the overall voice of the fan. What are you doing? That is such a terrible excuse. He is not a believable guy, and he never has been. And Ryan Clark came out and basically said, you know what, I was around the Giants, and he wasn't one of the guys. Like, he wasn't a believable guy. And then Tiki got all mad this week, the other day, saying that Ryan Clark should enjoy his 5 minutes of fame and you don't know me. No, I think he does. I think he does.
Tiki Barber's a clown. Tiki Barber was clown when he was a Giant. Tiki Barber's a clown in the media. Come at me, bro. Like, no one trusted the guy when he was part of the franchise. No one has trusted him in his time in the media. And frankly, why would Giants fans want to hear something about he's dead to me and being mad at Saquon. Why? The Giants tagged him and then didn't tag him and then didn't sign him to a long-term deal. What exactly was Saquon Barkley supposed to do staring the Eagles contract in the face? Going to a team with an actual offensive line. Going to the team with an actual quarterback. Stop it, the voice of the fan. You weren't a fan favorite when you were there. You were too busy fumbling the ball all the time. Remember Tiki Barber's fumble problems when he first got there? I do, because I'm a Giants fan. And I'll speak for the voice of the fan. I didn't want Saquon Barkley back. I didn't want them spending any more money on a guy who did not help them get any better. But you know what? I'm not mad at him. What's to be mad at? Are you mad at your friend if they work for FedEx and they get a better job offer from UPS? Oh, where's the loyalty to FedEx? No, he got a better offer from the Eagles. So he's going to go play for the Eagles. I don't think it's a great signing for them. But who's to be mad at with Saquon? And who wants to hear it from Tiki Dam Barber, zero-time Super Bowl champion with the New York Giants?
He saw some fans getting vocal, and he's like, oh, let me score points with them. And then he realized that, oh, wait, when I actually say something on radio, the radio station puts out social media, I have listeners. Oh, no, someone heard that I said Saquon Barkley is dead to me. I didn't really mean that, so now I got to backpedal with some weak-ass excuse. Then he gets called on his clownishness by Ryan Clark, and then he's basically calling Ryan Clark a flash in the pan in the media, and Tiki, he's not. Ryan Clark's pretty good. I don't agree with everything Ryan Clark says, but he's better than you. So it's not a 5 minutes of fame deal.
Ryan Clark is worlds better. That's why he just got re-signed to a long-term contract at ESPN. He has an actual way of breaking down a game and an interesting personality that Tiki Barber wishes that he had, because he doesn't. And when it comes to the part of this that is speaking up for the fans, you know what Tiki Barber did? He took on that A-Rod, Russell Wilson level of disingenuousness and thought, like, yep, this is my moment. This is when they're going to like me. No, man, we've never liked you. We're not going to like you. And you should just leave the big boy talk to the big boys.
Jeez. There was a second where I was on pins and needles when I set this up, and I'm like, I think Candy might come back at me on Tiki Barber. Oh, boy. You took that one and ran with it.
Pound sand, buddy. Pound sand. Say hi to Rondé.
Smashing the hell out of him. 5 o'clock hours on the way. We're live here at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Come on down. All the college basketball games, the tournaments unfurling in front of us. Great spot to watch them.